Psalms 8. Psalms 8. I've been thinking on a subject. I've had a thought for quite some time that I need to expound. I want you to listen closely to this psalm, the A Psalm, as we discover and examine the insignificance of man and the significance of mankind. Actually, your life is very insignificant. In the comparison, in the scope of history, we will make very little impact upon the world. No matter what you achieve in life, more than likely, one man or one woman generally doesn't make some profound impact on the world. In the grand scheme of things, our lives are, for the most part, insignificance. And when you start contemplating and comparing our lives to God, to creation, to the world, actually our globe, our world, our earth is but a speck in the universe. We are very small in comparison to the great God that created us. Amen. And when you lay side by side His greatness and our smallness, the question is asked by the psalmist, what is man that thou art mindful of him? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. And as we go on through this psalm, he begins to talk about the dominion that we have been given. The human race has some control. We do manipulate and we do have some control over the animal kingdom. Notice as I continue to read. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, like all sheep and ox, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. In these passages of Scripture, this phrase, this question that's asked, what is the significance of man in comparison to God? Steel has great power. It still has great precedence in our world today, despite the fact that we have great technology. We have devised many interventions. We have many things that we have invented. We have many things that we have done that man thinks that he has accomplished great and mighty things. But in spite of all that's happened through the years, no matter how smart we get, no matter how intelligent we become, no matter what instruments we devise, we are still insignificant in comparison to God. And the question is still asked as we examine how great God is in comparison to us. We are so small, James put it this way, when you talk about and think about the brevity of our lives. He said this, he said, man's life is like a vapor. It's very short, isn't it? It soon appeareth and then it vanisheth away. Our brevity, I quoted for you the 90th Psalm where Moses said, at best you may have 70 years and then after that you're going to have a lot of sorrow and pains and aches. By reason of strength, you may be granted a few more years, but you're not going to accomplish very much. You're not going to get a lot done, not like you used to. And then it's soon cut off. Listen, my friend, there's coming a day when our lives will have great significance. When we stand before God, saved in glorified bodies, there will be a significance like we've never had before. Now, notice in this psalm how that this is only accomplished not by us. We don't have complete dominion over the earth, do we? But in the psalm, we notice that David perceived, I believe in the future, that someone, perhaps he was thinking back of the promise that was given to him in the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 7, I believe it's about verse 12, where that God promised that through his loins, that there would be one that would be born who would have complete dominion over the earth, and that's Jesus Christ. That of his kingdom there will be no end. And when you start looking through the New Testament, this passage, a psalm, is quoted several times in the New Testament. Jesus himself quoted it in Matthew 21 and 16. The apostle Paul quoted it in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, having reference to Jesus Christ, putting all enemies under his feet. Jesus Christ having complete dominion. You look in like Hebrews chapter 2, where there in that particular passage also, the very phrase that we're examining and looking at this morning is used. Let's turn there just for a moment. I want us to notice that in our lives, the only thing that will bring genuine significance and radiance is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Being saved by his grace, that mankind can only find true significance in being delivered. That our significance is intertwined with the deliverance that is brought through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice in the book of Hebrews for just a moment, Hebrews chapter 2, there in that particular passage, you'll find where that he makes reference to this very phrase, verse 6. The Hebrew writer was saying in one certain place, testifying, saying, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" Why would God even pay attention to us? What motivates him? Is there something in us that prompts him to be concerned for us, to love us, to visit us, to be with us, to never leave us nor forsake us? What prompts him? Is there something in man that brings that about? Listen, if we start thinking ourselves something, we're nothing. Paul said that in the book of Corinthians. If a man thinks he's something, really he's nothing. And when we have a false perception of ourselves, those people that have a false perception of themselves usually, generally never find Jesus Christ as their Savior. We must know that we are sinners. We must know that we're lost. And for God to love us and help us, that it is solely by his grace. If you ever get saved, you must get saved by grace. You might say, "Well, preacher, what is grace?" Well, grace is the unmerited and undeserved favor of God. God showing you favor, giving you something that you really do not deserve. Our insignificance must be acknowledged before we can ever find God's grace. Amen. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or visit him. Have you ever pondered and thought about the degree of strength, the degree of thinking, of intellect, of wisdom that it took to construct the plan of redemption? Boy, you can't even put that thing in a computer and process it. It would blow it up. Well, there's no way that we could ever consider or contemplate how much wisdom, how much mental thinking, as we calculate or think, it took to devise the plan of redemption. And yet Jesus, and through his power, and through his death, and through his resurrection, he brought us salvation, and we can have it whether we fully understand it or not. Amen? Yeah, you don't have to understand all the ins or outs of the saving grace of God. But if you will listen to the Word of God, if you'll listen to what Jesus did for you, the Bible says that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. You may not understand all of it, but you got to believe it in order to be saved. Amen. His ways are so much higher than our ways. His thoughts so much higher than our thoughts. What is man? What do you think about how messed up we are? Come on now. We're sinners. I mean, come on. Come on. Why would a holy, why would a righteous, why would an almighty God even spend a mere second with us or even think about redeeming us? Why would he do that? What is there in man that would prompt him to do that? I'll tell you, there's nothing in us. You hear me? There is nothing, nothing there. Why? Because we're sinners. We are cut off from our Creator. We've been cut off from our designed purpose. God designed us to glorify Him. But sin separates us from God. Sin separates and divides us or puts us in a place where that we do not fulfill our designed purpose. It's sin that deadens our emotions. It is sin that perverts our attitude. It's sin that prevents us from fulfilling our purpose. It's sin that puts us out of harmony and out of kilter with not only our own lives, not only with the things of this planet and this world, but puts us out of harmony and out of kilter with spiritual things, with a divine God. Sin. Sin. It's sin that separates us. And as we listen to these passages of Scripture from Hebrews chapter 2, he says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Now notice, I believe David reflected upon that promise that was given to him. See, God a long time ago made a promise to Adam and Eve in the garden that he would send through the woman, through the seed of the woman, one that would crush and destroy the work of Satan the devil. And that promise was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, but as you go down through the centuries, he later chose a nation. He called out Abraham, made of him a nation. He chose a tribe, the tribe of Judah. Then he chose a family. He chose the family of David. And he said, "David, one of your children is going to have complete and comprehensive dominion over the whole world." David's like, "How can that be? What is man that thou art mindful of him to give him that kind of dominion?" I tell you, when you search the world over, there's only one that could hold that kind of dominion, and it's the only begotten Son of God. And the Hebrew writer said that. He saw that. David saw it. That this passage, this would be fulfilled in none other but Jesus Christ, who was made a little lower than angels. See, Jesus Christ lived before he came. Before he was born in that barn of Bethlehem, he was with the Father. Amen? He made an amazing stoop and came down and became man like us. The Bible says in the second chapter of Philippians that he emptied himself, poured himself out and became a man. He humbled himself and became a man. He had flesh and bone like us. He was born a baby in that barn. Yes, he was cared for by his parents. He grew up in Nazareth and he walked the shores of Galilee and called on the disciples to come out from among the world and be identified with him, and he would make them fishers of men. Yeah. He brought significance to their lives and he brought significance to mankind. Listen to me. Without him, this world is nothing. Amen. Nothing. Nothing. You, my friend, without Jesus Christ, you're nothing. Amen. I'll tell you how nothing you are. That in the end, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I guess that's okay. In the end, when the Lord comes back, when he says enough is enough,
See, he's going to look down off his lofty throne one of these days and look at this world, and he's watching today, and he says, there's enough insignificance there to bring significance. He said in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ did in the 5th chapter of Matthew, he said, when the salt has lost its savor, it'll be henceforth good for nothing. And when he looks down and he sees that this world no longer carries the significance of Jesus Christ in it, he will destroy it with fire and brimstone. Come on now. I'm one of those hellfire and brimstone preachers. You just have to hold on. Huh? Yeah. He's going to come with power and great glory. He's going to gather his redeemed from the four corners of the world. According to 24th chapter of Matthew, he's going to send his holy angels to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. He's going to gather us, every one of us, whether we are yet alive or we are dead. He's going to gather them from the four corners of the earth. And we're going to lose our gravitation. And then he's going to destroy this world. It's going to burn. Peter said in the 3rd chapter of Peter, it's going to melt with fervent heat. This whole world is going to be destroyed. And he said, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, the Lord hasn't come. He must be tarrying his coming. I'll tell you what, he is not tarrying his coming for the benefit of those who have received the significance. He is tarrying his coming for the benefit of those who have no significance yet. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. The word slack means tardy. He's not tardy. He's promised that he's going to come back and he's going to rule in righteousness. I mean, when you start pondering the benefits that we will receive through Jesus Christ, it is profound. I mean, it's amazing that we should even think that we're going to spend time with angels. Have you thought about that? We're going to walk with Gabriel and Michael, and we're going to be with archangels and seraphims and cherubims, and we can fly around with them. Y'all do believe that, don't you? I mean, that we will one day receive glorified bodies like the body of Jesus Christ. We don't know what we should be. We know we should be like him. Amen. We shall see him for as he is. We're going to have bodies like him. The amazing, marvelous, wonderful hope that we have in Christ Jesus. What is man that you would do that kind of stuff for him? And I'll tell you, that kind of stuff is going to be done for us. Don't you believe it? Isn't that our hope? Amen. That even the dead in Christ are going to rise? Amen. What is man that thou art mindful of him? I mean, he has messed up so much. Why would you do that, God? Why would you help him? Why would you recreate his body? Why would you dwell with him? Why will you visit him? Why does he live in us? I don't know about you, but from time to time, I have thoughts that I shouldn't have. I'm like Brother Jones mentioned last night. You know, you have things that go on in your mind, and you say, where did that come from? And it makes you wonder why even the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is holy. Amen. Keep that in mind. You got another spirit in you that's not holy, it's not of God. Why would the Holy Spirit want to reside in us? What is man that thou art mindful of him, or visit him, or be with him, or live in him? Why would you do that, God? The radiance of significance is only found in the glory of Jesus Christ. Let me read the rest of this second chapter of Hebrews. Wow. Wow. Look at this. Thou hast made him, who? Jesus, a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, and to set him over the work of thy hand. When Jesus said in the 28th chapter of Matthew, all power is given to me of heaven and earth. He had all power. He has full authority. Jesus reigns. In the 15th chapter of Corinthians, the Bible says he reigns. That when he resurrected after 40 days, he ascended to the Father. He sat down on the right hand of the Father, and he will reign till every enemy has been put under his feet. Amen. What art man that thou art mindful of him? What is he? in comparison to a holy and just God. That thou hast put all things in subjection. Notice here, under his feet. So the psalmist was talking about Jesus Christ. Though we may have some partial dominion, we do manipulate things and multiply things. But even when you think about that, what dominion we do have, we abuse it. Don't we? I mean, we take things and knowledge, and let me make clear for you something. Whatever knowledge we have, whatever abilities we have scientifically, it is given to us from God.
Amen.
If we're able to understand DNA, and actually DNA just proves that God, as far as I'm concerned, will know where you're at even after you're gone.
Amen.
But God gives us these dominions, these over the work of His hands. And man has made many great accomplishments, and we abuse a lot of those accomplishments, and we're unworthy of them. But Jesus will receive, what did the psalmist say? Complete, universal, comprehensive dominion. I'm telling you, of His kingdom, there will be no end. That He shall reign over the earth, over heaven. And now here's the amazing thing. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Paul wrote to the young minister Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 12, or chapter 2, verse 12, rather. He said there that we will reign with him. In the last chapter of the book of Revelation, we read that there's going to be a reigning. Who's reigning with Jesus? He told the 12 apostles, he said, you're going to sit on thrones and you're going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. What are you to be elevated to the degree where the Apostle Paul said in the book of Corinthians, don't you know you're going to judge angels? Who are you to stand in judgment of angels? Elevated to such a high degree. Do you know that those that are called are also going to be crowned? Who are you to wear a crown of life? Who are you to wear a robe of righteousness that the righteous judge shall give to us on that day? Who are you to have a crown? A crown! Jesus said that every believer would be kings and priests. Who are you to be a king? Who are you to be a priest? What are you that God is so mindful of you to elevate you to that degree? Listen, the only elevation to that degree that comes to mankind is through the man Christ Jesus. The Son of God brought significance to the sons of men. Are you with me? So, I'm closing. I appreciate your attention. I had to get this off my chest. The question is this. What brings significance to your life? What is it that brings significance to your life? I thought about the other day when I was in a plane and flew to Alaska, and I looked out the window on a city. There's supposed to be a large city down there. I couldn't identify one single person, could you? I mean, how does God way up there look down on us way down here and even know us, see us? And yet the Bible says He knows the very number of hairs on our head. That there's an all-seeing eye that knows where we're at all times. That God probes the heart. He doesn't just see you on the outside. He looks deep down in your soul.
Amen.
In closing, let me encourage you to bring significance to your life by repenting of your sins and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that was born. He is the one that was incarnate. He is the one that lived. He is the one that died on the cross. He was the one that was had the crown of thorns on his head, and the one that was mocked. He was the one that was spat on. He is the one that brought redemption, immortality, and eternal life to the sons of men. He is the one that you must believe in. He is the one you must trust in order to be saved. He is the one that brings significance to our lives, to our families, to our churches. Yes. Amen. We're nothing without Jesus. Amen. That's right. He is the one. He is the one that brings significance to those of us that are insignificant.